Good afternoon. It is a great joy for me to be with you this afternoon from the morning service. The way I prepared this session is not the way that the pastor thought I would prepare for this session. I was not told that this was going to be like kind of an interaction. So I prepared it in a form of a message. So I would really try to, you know, try to manipulate how what I can do. So it's prepared as a form of a message. So when you see me now going on, and please stop me. Yeah. I think let us begin then by a short word of prayer. Our eternal God, our Father and King, glory to your name, O God. The angels bow before you. Holy, holy, holy is you, our God. Even creation, O God, the heavens declares your holy name. So here we are, O God, also excited that you have brought us together from different tribes, different nations, different tongues, that we may be called your children, that we may come and hear from you, that we may come and be taught by you, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So help us, O God, to concentrate once again, Heavenly Father. We just had another wonderful session, but now, O God, help us to concentrate even more as we come to this session about Bible study and prayer. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen. What I will do is, in bringing this Bible study and prayer session, what I think should be in your minds: why, how? Why, how? That is what should occupy your minds. Because I don't think we can get to appreciate or do the how if we do not know the why. So we will try to cover two things: why and how. Yingani kunangifunde iBhayibheli ngithandaza. And ngizakwenza kanjani lokho na? And some of the applications I think Pastor Newton has already covered, that you need to desire the spiritual things. But let me say to you, both the Christian and the non-Christian pray. The key difference between the Christian and the non-Christian praying is that the Christian will increasingly conform to the intentions of the Word of God. So we confess, we adore, we give thanks, and we ask for those things which the Word of God tells us to. So therefore, there is that unbreakable link between Bible study and prayer. Those two things comes together, and which is our subject then this afternoon. So let us begin by reading from Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's read from Nehemiah chapter 8, and I will read from verse 1 to 6. But as we are turning there, let me just say to you, I am not claiming that this passage is all about Bible study and prayer, but I can tell you it is close, and we can draw some principles from it and then add other passages as we go on. And then towards the end, I will just try to bring real applications on the how. So as you look at this study, I'm not expounding this text, but I'm just drawing some principles from the text. Okay. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they had on this day, on this first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women, and those who could understand. And the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra, the scribe, stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him were all these wonderful
godly men that are listed on the scripture. Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces on the ground. May the good Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. The first thing that I think we need to answer, the first question we need to answer, how to avoid quitting. We'll get back to that. But how to avoid quitting? There's a set of questions that I will have to answer, but I separated them, grouped them into three, because the other ones are similar. But how to avoid quitting when we do Bible study and prayer? Well, let me just begin by telling you something that might shock you. In most cases, Bible study and prayer is surrounded by a lot of hypocrisy and self-centeredness. To other people, it has become just a mere religious practice. That is what we want to drive away from. A religious practice. Something I have to do because Pastor Mike says it must be done. I think Pastor Newton mentioned as well. So to some people, it's just a mere religious practice. I will do my thing and then I will say my prayer. The attitude actually is that God in somehow is obligated to answer prayer. Since he is commanded to answer prayer, with some people, they will command God to answer prayer. And if he doesn't bow to this command, then they will threaten God in the name of Jesus. You did say, in the name of Jesus, you can give me this. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I wouldn't have said it this way if I was preaching it the way I wanted. But he said I need to, you know. You get the point anyway. So God, in other words, sometimes he is threatened in the name of Jesus. And the reason behind this, all this is because the eye of the heart is not in God himself, but it's in the things of God. Because if the eye of the heart was in God, I would have studied to know who is this God that I can speak to in this way. But since the eye of my heart is in the things of God, then I just go straight to the things of God without looking at who this God is. How do I address this God? How do I benefit in the way that I address this God who's creator of heaven and earth? And friends, such attitude, or such people with such an attitude, are bound to quit. If you have turned prayer to a fight, you will fight and you will lose the battle and you will quit. If you have turned Bible study into some time where you will pick up some phrases and platitudes that will just motivate you during the day, you will lose out and you will quit. And I'm convinced, my friends, one needs to have a continuous desire to hear from God. So I'm saying, in our Bible study and prayer, as we do this together in one, there should be that desire to hear from God. Yes, in the same time, the desire to speak back to God, but the desire must be to hear from God. A few months ago, a friend of mine, very close friend of mine, he said to me, I have been saved for so long and going to a church since that time, but I have never heard the Bible speaking in a church in this way before. Friends, is it not amazing then to hear that the Bible speaks, and at the same time it's not frightening to hear that if the Bible is closed in the comfort of our home, if the Bible is closed, then God is not speaking, God is not guiding us, God is not telling us what to do, we do not know what is His will for us, because the Bible speaks. So it has to frighten us if God is not directing us, is not guiding us, is not correcting and rebuking the family, is not correcting and rebuking the individuals, he's not maturing us, as Pastor Newton was saying, if the Bible is closed. So here in the book of Nehemiah, in verse number 1, the people desire to hear from God. They did something about it. They desire first to hear from God. And when you want to hear from God, you need to do something about it. They said to Ezra, bring the book of the law. And in verse 3, the book was read, and the ears of the people, the Bible says, were attentive to the book of the law. In verse 4, we see that even the respected people that were there, the names are written there, all these people were of no exception to the reading of the book. Where am I going with this one? Everyone needs to pay attention to the reading of the book of God. Verse 5 confirms that the book is for all the people. It speaks of all the people listening to this reading of the book. Verse 6, the book connects the people with God. You see, another encouragement, the book will connect you with God. That is what we see in verse number 6. And then as the book connects the people with God, it drives the people to a glorious worship of God. Really? The Bible? Yes. This was not expositional preaching that is happening here in Ezra chapter number 8. It's not Pastor Mike preaching and expounding the text. No. This is the reading of the Bible. But it leads the people to a glorious worship of God. The people stood there from early morning till midday. They were willing to be instructed. They were willing to look unto God. How do we come here in this situation? Maybe that can apply in your own lives, in the struggles that you have. How do I come to be willing to be instructed by this word of God? God created the heavens and the earth. You all know that. Then men sinned before God, and they were separated from God, and they were on their way to eternity of hell. But God in His love said in the very same chapter, chapter number 3 of the book of Genesis, someone else will come and defeat the enemy on their steed. So from that day onwards, they're looking forward to someone that is coming, right? Then as that unfolds, we come to chapter number 6 of the book of Genesis. The people now have sinned greatly. They've sinned so much that God cannot even hold it. You know what? I just want to destroy these people. By God's grace, Noah found favor. In chapter number 12, God in His own grace now recalls Abraham. Now he calls Abraham, he gives him the promise. Then Abraham grows and the children of Abraham. Then you move, we find the prophet Samuel. But the people are still in sin. And God is telling them one thing that they are missing out on: the way of God. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Fathers, teach your children daily that this word of God. The people are not doing it. So if you continue not doing this, you continue in your sin, and I'll be so angry, and a nation will come and take you into captivity. You know where I'm going? Now they're in Babylon, after the kingdom has been divided. Now they're in Babylon because of their own sin. And this sin is motivated by their lack of reading and studying the word of God. You see, studying the word of God will eliminate sin, because God will deal with sin. So what is happening now here? They are out of Babylon. I'm just cutting the story short. But after so many years that they are out of Babylon, now they are here in Jerusalem building, or finished actually at the moment, building the wall. So the people, they come together. Finally, the people have secured the land. They had built the wall of Jerusalem. But soon they realize, my friend, that physical security does not mean anything. One needs to hear from God. You can have everything else that you have, being secured in this life with your work, with everything else. But unless you hear from God, you will not be able to trust in God. So they realize that even though we have so much security, one needs to hear from God. One needs to trust in God. For the first time in years, they return to the word of God for the purpose of discovering God's will. I hope you're writing down, because I will ask you later. Why are we turning to the Word of God? The purpose of discovering God's will. Why am I studying my Bible? The purpose of discovering God's will. So, they begin by reading. Of course, they love and they obey the Word of God. And because of such power that comes from the Word of God, they are led now to this worship, which of course involves prayer. If you look at verse number 6 of chapter number 8. They worship God. Isn't that beautiful, my friend? Isn't that what we want? To be led by the Spirit to a marvelous time of worship, to be immersed, as it were, in the presence of God. And all that begins by a faithful consideration of the worthiness of the Word of God. So a Bible study is my faithful consideration of the worthiness of the Word of God. I'm not doing God a favor. It's worthy to be connected with God. I'll be led by the Spirit to commune with God, to fellowship with Him. That is what we want. So the people valued the Word of God. Are you having that one? They valued the Word of God. And that matters, my friend, because that's what makes a difference between the non-believer and the believer. They value the Word of God. Until you value the Word of God, you are bound to quit. You must value the Word of God. Unlike our generation today, we are increasingly indifferent to the Bible, forgetting that God only speaks to us through the Bible. And if I don't read and I don't study the Word of God, how can I hear from Him? How can I grow in my spiritual walk with Him? Is it not the reason why we want to know about Him? That we may grow in our spiritual walk with Him, such that we may be separated from the world, that the sins of the world may not be counted as the sins that some of us are doing. So there is that separation. That is why we come to the Word of God, so that we may grow in our walk. Long time ago, I read a book entitled Macbeth, written by William Shakespeare. Some of you have got the privilege of not knowing about it. Macbeth, written by William Shakespeare. After reading this book, I realized that I cannot live the life of Macbeth. So there are many books. I'm making an example. But after reading it, I'm getting nothing. I cannot live the life of Macbeth. I cannot live a life of any of the characters in the book of Macbeth. But Bible study is different, my friend. It's about studying God and His attributes. It's about God speaking to me. It's about God enriching my soul with the food of heaven. So for me, not to quit, I must find joy in it. I must have the joy in studying the Word of God. Not obligation. Joy to hear from God. Joy to speak to God. Another encouragement you can find in Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5, we read here in verse 1 to verse 3. And then I will read from verse 11 to verse 12. I'm encouraging you to establish and maintain a good Bible study. I will not read some of the verses. They will require a lot of explanation. So let's look verse 1 to 3. Give ear to my words, O God. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I do pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. That is verse 3. Jump to verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with shields. What you see in verse 1 and verse 2 is that the psalmist is aware, write that down, is aware that God hears the people's prayers. That's what you get in verse number 1, verse 2. The reason why he will wake up is because he's got that confidence that someone out there is willing and able to hear. It is useless to be willing and not be able, but our God is willing and is able to hear. So he comes to God. He says, Lord, you are willing to hear the cries and the prayers of your people.
That's what you see in verse 1. God pays attention to the prayers of his people. Verse 3 emphasizes the same. God answers his people. Remember, I'm not expounding the text, so I'm giving you some few latitude.
So the purpose of his devotion is to talk to this sovereign God, who is above all, who hears the prayers of his people from heaven. And another psalm says he doesn't have to come from heaven to come here and hear our prayers. He inclines his ear where his people are. We'll read that just now. So, God answers the prayer of his people, pays attention, and the whole purpose to come to God is to have this devotion and talk to the sovereign God. So he appeals to God that God may answer and hear him. That's all. Answer, oh God, hear me and answer. So in this, I have my opportunity then to speak. That's why it's Bible study and prayer. So he says, give ear to my words, oh God. So he will not give up. Every morning he stands before God. Another encouragement you see there in verse number 12 and 11, you can read it, we have just read it, that joy awaits those who speak and wait to hear from God. I'm summarizing the verse. Joy awaits me as I start, take my Bible and preparing myself to read and to pray. There is joy that awaits me because God is willing to hear and is able to answer. Joy awaits those who speak and wait to hear from God. There's a realization here with the psalmist, a realization of a personal relationship with God. That's very important. I cannot just take my Bible. I cannot just pray. God will only answer the prayers of his people who have connection with him. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I have not come to this saving relationship, I can speak, hope, saying that I'm speaking to God, but then God is not hearing me. I know there is common grace, but that's not the point. There is a realization here that I have a relationship with God. The psalmist believes that every morning God listens to him. So he will not quit because his prayer is a sacred and appointed means to obtain all the blessing that he wants. He will not quit because why? Prayer is a sacred and appointed means to obtain all the blessings that he wants. If I don't have prayer, I don't have any means of obtaining the blessings of God. That is what helps me not to quit. There is a God in heaven who's willing to hear, who's willing and is able. But secondly, I think for a good Bible study and prayer habit, one needs to pause then at this moment. You need to pause and answer this question. What is the culture? What is the philosophy? In other words, what is the idea behind Bible study and prayer? What is this idea behind Bible study and prayer? What is this all about? That is the question. What is this all about? Bible study and prayer. What is the idea behind it? We are still in the why. Well, if you read where we just read, verse number 6, Nehemiah chapter 8, we can conclude from there that Bible study and prayer is not primarily about you. It is not about me, it is not about you, it is about God. Indeed, it connects us with God, but it teaches us worship. That is where worship grows. As you sit with your family, as you sit in your little corner, you learn to worship God in the right way. Then the church is healthy because there's worship that is good worship unto God. So it is not primarily about me, it's about God. It teaches me worship. That is why it must be done in groups. It must also be done in the context of the family. It must also be done by the individuals. The individual believers. Let me pause and tell you this, my friends. One of the God-grieving and passion killer sins when it comes to Bible study and prayer is a broken family. What do I mean about a broken family? A husband is pulling to another direction and the wife is pushing her own agenda. All that matters to them is the air that they breathe. That's all. That's God greeting. We'll get to the part where I say you must cultivate is there. So I'm convinced, my friend, as I was saying to you, that the main reason we have so much chaos, the main reason we have so much disorder, there is false ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, how we conduct the church, false worship, there is false doctrines. All this is not primarily because we've got the false teachers, because the professing Christian has actually divorced himself from studying the word of God. People have divorced themselves from personal study of the Bible and prayer. That is the main problem. Friends, I've come across people, let me say, I've come across Christians who will treat the Bible as though it's just some words. You know, it's just words. And then consequently, their prayer has become words, just words. If you treat the Bible as words, mere words, then your prayer become just words. Many Christians' Bibles are piled up with dust. And consequently, their prayer life is piled up with dust. When the time for prayer comes, all that the people do is just few babblings. Just few babblings. Just saying things that you don't actually mean. Just because it's time for prayer. But where is the problem? I don't have my personal quiet time. I don't have my personal time with God. I don't study the word of God in my own space. I don't pray to God. I don't bring out my heart to God. It's babblings. There's no good and spiritual understanding of the things that I say to God. The prayer is just not with understanding. Because there's no Bible study and prayer in the context of the family and personal life. The prayer is not as instructed by the Holy Spirit, by the understanding of the word. So, to many people, the Bible has just become a crystal ball. You know a crystal ball? What they do, they go like this. They take the Bible, place it to their side, and put their thumbs in. What is God saying to me today? They divided my garment among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. No. Besides, what is my tongue saying? The troubles of my heart are large. Bring me out of my distress. That is what's going to happen. God today is bringing me out of my distress. The trouble of my heart is out. Friends, that is wrong. That is not Bible study. That is not reading the Bible. You just made the Bible like some kind of crystal ball, a horoscope, a fortune telling. Some kind. You make God some kind of a soothsayer. Somebody who just tells you about the future, but doesn't know how to get you to the future. Our Bible study shouldn't go that way. That's encouragement for you. Most Christians, in other words, are lazy to hear from God. If I don't study my Bible and I don't pray, I'm lazy to hear from God. And if I don't study the Word of God, how do I answer the question, did God really say? Because if I don't answer that question, my friend, and I'm bound then to fall to the very same sin that Eve fell to. Did God really say? How do I know that what I'm being taught is right? Because I don't have the time myself with God. Many Christians are not only lazy to hear from God, they are lazy to speak to God. But they can speak so many ways out there, but they can't speak to their Creator. They are lazy to speak to God, lazy to exercise their God-given privilege to address God. And if I don't pray, how do I benefit from the fact that the eye of the Lord is on the brokenness of my heart? How do I benefit from that? How do I know that? Because I don't study the Bible. The eye of the Lord is in the brokenness of my heart. Psalm 51, verse 17. We all know. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. How do I bring my broken heart to God if I cannot approach God in prayer? So I need my conversation with God. I need to connect with God who's above while I'm still here below. I need to draw near to God. My soul needs to draw to God. I need to dwell for a few minutes with my Heavenly Father before I even get to see Him and gaze upon His beauty forever and ever. I just need that little time while here on earth. I need to taste and see that God is good. I need that sweet communion with my Father if I am the child of God. If I'm not, why bother?
Is that time up?
Not according to my recording. I need that sweet time of communion with my God. That is why then Bible study and prayer should be your due preparation to serve God with your best. It's my due preparation to serve God. Before I serve God with my best, I need to hear from God. And I need to tell God what I feel. Then I can serve God in the way that God will love me to serve Him. So, Bible study and prayer, it prepares you not to rush into the presence of God in solemn prayer without due forethought. Did you get that one? It prepares me not to rush to God without meditating what I will say. That is a due forethought. So I'll have to hear, then I will come. So, Bible study and prayer prepares me for those things. It prepares me not to come before the presence of God, to come and pour words, just words, senseless words. It prepares my heart for prayer. That is why there should always be that degree of premeditation before prayer. You must premeditate before Bible study and prayer. And that's where the word of God comes in, to guide my thoughts, to teach you how to wrestle with God, to teach you how to choose your words that you will speak with God. How to reason with God. That's how Job puts it. He says, I want words in the way that I will reason with God. So, for me to know how to reason with God, which words I have to use with God, is when I know which words God uses when He speaks to me, which words did other women and men of God of old use to communicate with God. I need to know all those things. Then I can choose my words to communicate with my Father. Friends, let me give you this small definition from John Bunyan. I appreciate how John Bunyan defines prayer. He says, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate calling of the heart or of the soul through Christ in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised. Or, according to His word, for the goodness of the church with submission in faith to the will of God. So Bible study helps me to understand the will of God so that I can pray, having in my hands, as it were, the will of God as a guiding torch in my supplication, as a guiding torch in my petitions, in my intercession. That's how the Bible helps me. In a way, it's like I'm holding the lights of scripture when I come to pray to God. Something is helping me to see clearly how and what to bring to God from the Bible study than to prayer. Bible study helps you to listen, because God's people by definition are those who listen. If you do not do Bible study, it will be difficult for you to listen to the pastor when he preaches. It helps you to listen. God's people are those who listen. So when you study your Bible, your aim is not to get through words. Your aim is to listen. In the same way, God's people are the only one given the privilege to speak to God. So in my Bible study and prayer, I hear and I speak. I learn the discipline of hearing and speaking. I want to be involved in the Bible study because God wants to talk to me. God wants me to listen to Him. He wants me to hear Him, and I want to speak to Him. So studying the Word of God, studying the Bible, it also encourages me to live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It enables me to observe all that God has commanded me to observe. Bible study and prayer is the only way in which preaching of the Word of God can dwell in us richly. It just makes sense when the man preaches. I read that 2 days ago. I read that yesterday. It just makes sense. The only way we can be able to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. So, why am I doing Bible study and prayer? Because a godly life
is only possible from people who study the word of God and pray. For me to hold Jesus with my both hands, as it were, I need to know him and the power of his resurrection. How do I know that? By diving and digging in into his ways. Our study and prayer helps me to do all those things. So I want to establish and maintain this good Bible study and prayer habit, because the Bible reveals God and his purpose. That's what the Bible reveals. God and his purpose. But when I pray, my prayer reveals my heart and my purpose to God, in accordance to his purpose to me. You cannot divorce the two. Through his word, I draw near. And as I pray, he draws near. Listen to Psalm 116, verse 1 to 2. You just write it down. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my plea for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him for as long as I live. Michael Horton, they call him Dr. Michael Horton, says, God's word does not merely impart information to us, it increases our lives, it produces worship, obedience, communion, and discipline. In other words, when God speaks, some kind of a change happens in me, and that change should squeeze out of my heart some sweet perfume in which I bring prayer to God in a form of prayer. I direct it back to God as a proof that the work has been done in my own heart. So I want to establish and maintain a good Bible study and prayer habit, because the Bible speaks of a faithful God. That's what we see in this psalm. That's what we see in this book of Nehemiah. There's a faithful God. And then he challenges me to also be faithful. He challenges me to be faithful before him and before my fellow brothers and sisters. It is not my faithfulness, of course, that helps me to cling to him. But it's because there is a faithful God that I just want to cling to. Did you get that one? There is a faithful God I want to cling to. Not because I'm faithful, but there's a faithful God that stands there and waits for me to speak to him in the morning. Bring all these prayers and addressing him, this faithful God. So God is reliable, my friend. In prayer, I just admit that. The Bible tells me God is reliable. When I pray, I admit that God is reliable. That is the philosophy. That is the idea. That is the culture. That is the what is this all about. This is about God. Bible study and prayer teaches me how to worship. I've said that. Because why? God seeks those who worship him in truth and in spirit. It's about hearing and talking to the one who gave his life a ransom for many. It's about all, it's about coming to him. It's about gazing upon the beauty of the faithful, reliable, sovereign God. I want to gaze upon his beauty. I want to know him more. I want to study. And the only way I can know him more is not to study my pictures that are pasted or posted on Facebook about God, but it's about studying his ways, the very ways of God here, regardless of what translation using. I'm not saying that all are good. Ways of God. Thirdly and last, probably you are tired. This is the how part now. Probably you'll be happy. Thirdly and lastly, what is the art of Bible study and prayer? In other words, how can I do this? What are some practical steps I can take? How can I establish or maintain this Bible study and prayer? Friends, this is a matter of planting and cultivation. Someone needs to start something. And someone needs to keep doing something for the fruit that is planted. I'm talking agricultural now. To grow. When I was at school, see, I didn't study your things that you do now, all these computers. And I did that after my matric. I had to struggle to get computer literacy. You guys are doing the school. This other young man, that one was laughing at me just now, trying to open that tablet. I was trying to open this thing, laughing. It's easy for him, you know. I'm not that old. But, so in agriculture, we are taught when you plant, you must water. When it springs forth, you must clean. The same with Bible study and prayer. It's a matter of planting
continuous looking after, because the more it is ignored, the more weed it grows. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, we're going back to Psalm 5, it says, in the morning I prepare for you a sacrifice and I watch. In other words, in the morning I pray. In other words, in the morning I lay my request before you, O sovereign God, with expectation I wait. I hope you got that one. With expectation I wait. I lay my request before you. I do something about what I feel. And I think the greatest example, my friends, of what I've just said is Jesus Christ himself. I know Jesus Christ knew the word of God. He didn't have to study it like me and you. But I think there's a principle we can draw there. If you look at Mark chapter number 1 verse 35, I'll read it for you. It says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. It says, draw a principle from there. So you don't want to do your Bible study and prayer while everybody is busy watching Bafana Bafana get beating someone on national TV. You don't want to do your Bible study and prayer when people are watching this very important funeral of a very important soccer star who did not play for the very important team called Kaizer Chiefs. You don't want to do those things. You don't want to do those things. Right? There's the question. Oh, you're saying that's true. Then people agree. They all do. They just get. Right. You just don't want to occupy yourself with Bible study and prayer where there's so much commotion and the wife is cooking and is shouting at the daughter for you're on the floor. And you don't want to do those things. Let's read again. Arising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he did what? He prayed. And to add on that, you don't want to do this thing just randomly. There should be a way. Let me put it to you, since you are tired now. You must have a proper plan. Scrape a mirror. Write it down. You must have a proper... I know Africans. You must have a proper plan. You must have a perfect timing. You don't need disturbance. Jesus rose early in the morning. That is a sign of what? Of commitment. You must be a committed person. It's a sign of dedication. It's a sign of being disciplined. Because apart from all these things I've said, my friend, we are bound to fail. Proper plan, perfect timing, no disturbance, commitment, dedication, discipline. And since you are not Jesus, and I am not, so in your time, you must have a pen. Why do you need a pen? You must have a pen with you so that you can write all the helpful insights and reflections that grows out of your meditation as you read the word of God. Why do I need to write those things down? I'm glad that you have asked. Here's the answer. You must have the pen. You must have that prayer diary. Or you're going to write with your pen, writing your prayers with your pen, where you will record your prayers and you will record your answers. That is not to test God. That is for you to say, you know what, even in my doubt sometimes, God is good. He answered that one. It's for your own encouragement. I'm writing my prayers and I'm writing my answers. I'm not saying because now you've written your prayers down, God will always read there to remember. He knows your prayers, my friend. It's for you to remember what you prayed for and pray even more. And see that God is good and you're jotting down all your answers. And at the same time, you need to pray for specific points. You don't need to impress God. God doesn't worry about your English. He knows that you are a Zulu or a Swazi like me. You don't need words of great learning, phrases. You don't need to quote scriptures to God. Stop telling God his word. You need the word. God doesn't need his word. Pray for specific things. Yes, remind God of his promises, not because he has forgotten. Just to show God that I know he has promised me. I'm reminding you that you say you are greater than everything. I can look unto you and you will deliver me from the pit. Here am I stand. Do as you have promised, O God, and I depend on you. I humbly ask in the name of Jesus. And I know that you guys don't command God. May the good Lord bless you for that. Have specific points that you want to bring to God. Points that are revealed by the very passage that you are reading. Be specific on your prayers. Don't go there to the east, there to the south. God doesn't want you to convince him. I'm telling you, my friend, that's very important. God doesn't need convincing. He's the great convincer. He raised you from the dead. When you were saying to him, "No, I'm not dead." And he said, "You are. What do you think? What do you think? Why is my son hanging on the cross? If you tell him you're not dead, is he not dying so that he may raise you up from the dead? As he rise from the dead, you are dead." He said, "No, I'm not dead, God. I'm just a good person. I've got problems." No, my friend, God said you are dead. So don't try to convince him. Bring your heart unto God. "Lord, here am I. Here are my specific points as I read." And if you come across a passage which is difficult, go to the pastor. You come across a question which is difficult, consult some other commentaries on that passage. That is another point that you should have written down. Consult other resources. The biggest idea that I get here in the life of Christ: set aside the time. Be committed. Discipline yourself. Be dedicated. That's what we see in the life of Jesus. The psalmist prayed in the morning. He waited on the Lord. The picture that you see here is you coming to the holy place by yourself. We know what the holy place, the throne of God. This is the picture that we see. I'm entering the throne of God with confidence. As the psalmist prays every morning, I also do in my Bible study and prayer. I come to him with boldness and confidence, coming to obtain mercy and coming to find grace. So what is my advice to you? Desire to enter the holy place of God. You must do this in other ways with your eyes fixed unto Jesus. And this is only possible, my friend, if you have come to know Jesus. Maybe I should ask, have you come to know Jesus? Have you seen your sin? That is great. Have you seen his love? And you see your sin and you look at it and you look at Christ. And Christ is more glorious than your sin. And then Christ draws you. Have you come to that point where you said, "Jesus, you are right, I am wrong. You are big, I am small." Have you come to that place where you turn to him in faith and repentance? Because this will not make sense. Bible study will not make sense. It will just be another religious practice. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The psalmist in verse 3, he speaks of preparing a sacrifice. Let me talk quickly on that one. He says, "In the morning I prepare a sacrifice." Friends, put yourself in his shoes. How long does it take to prepare a sacrifice? Let's take it literal. I'm not saying it is, but let's take it literal. Here the psalmist taking a sheep or a lamb to slaughter, preparing a sacrifice to bring to God every morning. Does this not tell you that there should be preparation? There should be proper dedication, proper planning, especially in our context, preparation of the heart. Is it not about, it is not about preparing the sacrifice, it's about preparing the heart. It is not about me having a nice Bible that I can read. It's called Amplified, just because it sounds funny. It is not about that. It's about the heart being prepared to draw near to God. He says, "In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice. I draw near to you, O God, with a prepared heart." That is what Bible study helps us with. So I set aside this time to pour my heart to God. You need to be aggressive against that enemy, the enemy of effective Bible study and prayer. Do you know the enemy of effective Bible study and prayer? His name is not Satan. His name is not devil. It's not his name. The enemy of Bible study, his name is called Mr. I am busy. You see, I changed my name from Becky to I am busy. Why don't you pray? I am busy. Friends, that is an enemy. The question is, do we really claim to be busier than Jesus? Don't we remember that even the circumstances, the daily circumstances, allowed Jesus no time. It allowed him little time to come to be alone with God. But he did deliberately put aside the time to come before the Holy Father. Who do you think you are? I am busy. To hear from God, you are busy. To submit to the one who came down from heaven to breathe this air and walk the dark streets of Jerusalem for you, putting upon himself, in his shoulder, your sin, carried out of the road to Calvary, be nailed on that cross, cried on that cross, blood oozing and water from his side, dying that day that he should have died. I am busy. Oh, my friends, God help us. God help us. As you come to your Bible study and prayer, the most beautiful prayer you can say to God is to pray for that very Bible study and prayer. In other words, the Bible study and prayer we're talking about also depends on prayer. It depends on prayer. I will not do it if I don't pray for it. So when I get there, I must pray for it. It depends on prayer. Here's one of the things I need to add as my time is running out. You will never employ the mentality of finishing. That is for Caster Semenya. What? Semenya. Caster Semenya. No. We do not imply the mentality of finishing. I don't kneel and wait for a gun to shoot, then I look at my goal, the rope that I must run to. No. It's not about finishing. No. People say, I just want to go through this. No, friends. It is about hearing. That's why sometimes my sermon takes long. I don't care about finishing. Right, let's come back. It's not about finishing. It's about a discipline. It's about hearing from God. It's about me pouring out my heart to the one who created me. The one who sits in the bottom of my heart. The one who searches my heart and is pleased with uprightness. The body must be prepared because the body is unwilling. So if you want to come here with an attitude of finishing, you will suffer. The heart itself must be prepared, because the heart sometimes is not willing. Look at verse number 7 of the Psalm, chapter 5. It says, "But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down towards your holy place, your holy temple, in the fear of you." This tells me I need to look to Jesus. That's my finish line, not the Caster Semenya finish line. Not that line. Jesus is my line. Jesus is my goal. I'm not chasing Jesus. He is carrying me as I do this. I'm not chasing a goal of obtaining a gold medal. My goal is to come close to my Lord. So don't try to be someone else, my friends. Let Jesus, let the Bible be your guide. That is a point for you. Come to him with expectation. Expect to hear, expect to receive. You must set up your Bible study and prayer time as a divine appointment with God. It must be very important for you. I would rather lose everything else, but my time with God I will not lose unless the day is lost for me. So if you want to establish or maintain a good Bible study and prayer habit, you need to look up to Jesus. You need to look up to the apostles, the church, if I may put it that way. The Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. I need to look up to that perfect example that is set before me. You need to fall in love with Jesus. That is what captured them. They were in love with the Lord. You must be in love with Jesus. Are you in love with Jesus, my friend? Is it not true that if you love someone, you will do anything for her? If you love her, you want to be with her? It's not true that if you love someone, you want to hold dear that person, you want to spend time with that person, you want to understand that person, you want to know the likes and the dislikes of that person, you also want to express yourself, you want to make her know how you feel, you want to feel the embrace of a wonderful and lovely arms. Is it not true? You want to make time for her. You want to study her. What is it that makes her happy? What is it that doesn't make her happy? I know you love that kind of a language, young man, but are you getting where I'm going? We need to love Jesus even more than that. I need to know Jesus. I need to know that I can come to him and he will embrace me with his own warm and wonderful hands. I need to understand and study him. I need to know his heartbeat. I need to know what he feels, how he feels. What are the dislikes? What are the likes? I need to know my Lord. I need to You need to do this as a reflection of your salvation. Take it one step at a time. Just like any other relationship, one step at a time. Remember, the best of relationships are built on time spent together. That's very important. Time spent together. Me and my God together. Then I have an understanding. So you do not want to treat your Bible study and prayer as you would with your packet of popcorns. Quick. No, my friend. You want to come and you want to have time. You want to make sure that you sit down to a full meal. So what am I saying? Our attitude matters when it comes to this thing. That is why the Bible says, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. The same attitude that was in Christ be with you. What was the attitude? God first. This is about God first. Me, I'm secondary. Let me repeat a few things that I think are very important for you. Proper planning, perfect timing, no disturbances, discipline, dedication, commitment, have a pen, have a diary, pray for specific points, consult other resources, speak to your pastor, set aside the time, desire to enter into the holy place, fix your eyes unto Jesus, prepare that sacrifice every morning, knowing that there's a God who is there. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times. May we all say amen. My time is done and I'm done. Can I have questions? Thank you, sis. Question one.
So, then, in